Thank you indeed. Good morning. Can I add my welcome to everybody else's welcome and hope that you're feeling blessed and encouraged by our service this morning. We're continuing our series in the Psalms. This morning we've reached Psalm 125, and what we're looking at are the Psalms of Ascent, and the idea being is to discern the voices in the Psalms, who's saying whom and to whom about what. And this morning the Psalm is an interesting Psalm. I was thinking about it just as we were singing that praise song. I remember somebody coming to me on a Monday morning and saying to me, yesterday I felt dishonoured by something that somebody said to me. And I was really sad. It was one of the saddest moments I've had in ministry in the congregation here. And she was saying, yeah, and she told me the story, and I could understand why she felt dishonoured. But what the psalm is about is honouring God's people, and the voice of honour, the voice of praise. And we must be a people that honour one another and have an expectation when we come into the house of the Lord to be honoured, and to know the Lord's honour, and to know the honour of one another. And it's a great thing to feel honoured and to have honour as part of who we are and as part of what we do. I think what I'll do is read the psalm. Just imagine the pilgrims are heading to Jerusalem. They could come from all over Israel, and they're arriving for the three pilgrim festivals, as they're called. And on the journey, they're singing together, they're rejoicing together, and their leaders are pointing them both to Jerusalem and to the Lord. And the leader says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. So there's a number of words, a number of voices in this psalm. And I want to begin by talking about the word or the voice that identifies. We've had a few weeks of labels of people. Maybe you were red, maybe you were blue, maybe you were a Remainer, maybe you were a Leaver, maybe you were yellow. It doesn't really matter, but everybody had a label, and there was a lot of conflict, a lot of argument, a lot of discussion, and through it all, probably a lot of dishonor. But the Lord here identifies, or the leader, the writer of the psalm, identifies a unique and a very special group of people, those who trust in the Lord. And the word trust, of course, is about confidence. And it's difficult to know who we have confidence in, or how to go forward. Because we live in an age where confidence is something that's very hard to attain to, very hard to achieve. Some people describe it as a post-truth era, that we used to have absolute truth, and nowadays nobody knows what truth is and how to distinguish truth. But we're desperate to know truth and to know what it means to have real truth, because much of what we've heard, much of what we've witnessed has been lies. I love the song that says, I was lied to, but you told the truth because you are the truth. So trust puts Jesus at the center. If you look at the back of the building there, at the light, you'll see there's a framed picture. And on that framed picture, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I don't know where that picture came from, but what a blessing to have that as a testimony, as a witness, whatever your label, wherever we're going as a nation. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord. Well, it's something like this. There's a simile the writer uses. He says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. The word Zion means fortification or fortress. It's quite interesting that the word comfort comes from the same root. Come fort, come into the fort and be comforted, come to the fortress. And there are 150 references to Mount Zion or Zion in the scriptures. And there's a gradual expansion of the meaning from the earliest days when it was captured by David to become the spiritual home of God's people. And it's got so many messianic associations, so much that points to Jesus. In Peter 2:6, the Lord says, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who puts his trust in him will never be put to shame." So there's a personification of Zion. It becomes identified with Jesus. It becomes identified with the people of Jesus. And there are two characteristics about this voice of trusting in the Lord, being like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken, so it's unshakable, and it endures forever. It endures eternally. I remember reading about John Wesley, who was saying when he was young, he was absolutely sure of everything. And in a few years, after a time of being mistaken, he says about 1,000 times, "I was not so sure. I was only half sure. At the moment, I'm hardly sure of anything except what God has revealed to me." And I think that's the case with Christians on the journey. When we're young, we're pretty certain of everything. We're pretty sure and pretty secure of things. But as we grow older, uncertainty and insecurity has a more kind of powerful grip. I love the story of the guy in Moscow during the time of President Khrushchev, the Soviet Union. And he wasn't very happy with life, and he stood at a street corner and he shouted, "Down with Khrushchev, down with Khrushchev." So the KGB arrested him and put him in the gulag, reconditioned his mind to think that Khrushchev was a good president. And when he came out, he didn't know that Khrushchev had been exposed as a dishonest man, and he himself, his reputation had gone, had been in tatters because of his corruption and dishonesty. And so the man again stood in the street corners, "Up with Khrushchev, up with Khrushchev," and got arrested again because he had the wrong message. And so it is with our journey. And it's okay to identify with Jesus and not be so secure, not be so certain about everything. But if we want certainty, certainty is in the truth being Jesus, who says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." John the Baptist had that same struggle when he was in prison. He sent disciples to Jesus. "Are you the one that should come, or should we look for somebody else?" This is the one that John was preaching about. John was preparing to come, and he obviously had some doubt. He obviously had some insecurity about who Jesus was. Maybe the Jesus that he had expected, the reality of the Jesus he saw, even from prison, was somewhat different. So what does Jesus say? "Well, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. The lepers are cleansed. The blind see. The lame walk." There are signs, there are wonders. And we need to learn to interpret modern signs and modern wonders of God's kingdom. So these are just some thoughts on the first voice that I heard in this psalm. The voice that speaks of identity. The voice that speaks of honor. There's another voice, if we look in verse 2. It's the voice that Stephen referred to, the voice that reassures as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So the Lord surrounds his people. There were seven mountains, and there still are seven mountains around Jerusalem. I don't want to give you a geography lesson, but one of these mountains is Mount Zion. and the Lord surrounded. And the idea of surrounding is very, very interesting. We've been speaking this morning of the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the heart of the promise. The word surround is actually similar to the sea surrounding an island. All round an island, you're surrounded by the sea. And it comes from the same root as the word to flow. And around God's people are these mountains, and the presence of them, the power of them, the security of them, the strength of them. And that's great, because people on pilgrimage, people on a journey going from one place to another, need to know where they're going and need to know how they're going. And the journey itself can be a window into the meaning and the value and the purpose of life, where in God, in Jesus, there is stability, there is certainty, and that will not be taken away from us. Because who says, I will never leave you or forget you, I will never forsake you, I'm there for you, I'm there with you. I want to reassure you, even on the journey, when things are so challenging sometimes, and especially in a very hot country, and there's a struggle in the journey. It's interesting that the journey, our political journey, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I'm going to share it with you. I've had quite a lot of friends coming to me from Eastern Europe, particularly Romania, Lithuania, and say, please don't leave us. Please remain in the European Union. We depend on you. We look up to you. We trust you. You're like a father figure in our nation and to our nations. And not me personally, but the United Kingdom that they're talking about. And just hearing their cry for stability, their cry for security, their cry for a father figure. And security is one of these things that we all crave. If we're not secure, we're insecure. And when we're insecure, we have doubt, we have fear, we have anguish, we have trouble. But as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And just note that, for now. So whatever your situation is today, however you fear or feel today, if you feel fear, what Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he means that now, and we have to take him at his word. And so this psalm is full of God's grace, full of protection, full of provision. It's also, thirdly, a voice that I'm going to say compares, contrasts. It talks about in verse 3, the scepter of the wicked will not remain. The scepter is it's a kind of a rod, a staff. It used to be for beating the grain or for fending off wild animals, but it's become a real symbol of authority. And I think this psalm identifies with the wicked, the wicked's own scepter. The scepter of the wicked will not remain. It's a temporary thing. And if you break a scepter, you break a symbol of a power, and you break a symbol of authority. And the Lord has broken, it says in Isaiah 14, the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers. But then that contrasts with Psalm 45, which is one of the most beautiful descriptions of Jesus and of his church. Your throne, O God, will last forever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. And then in Hebrews 1 verse 8, the writer says that that scepter refers especially to Jesus. Of the Son, it says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and a scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Of course, our scepters nowadays are slightly different. We have the scepter of the cross, and this is a very, very powerful image. This is what is our symbol of authority. The cross revealed in Scripture, which is our ultimate authority. So if we look to the cross as the scepter and look to its power and its authority. That's the meaning of Christmas, the reason for the season. I'm not going to stand it there because I think it will fall over. But the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. I like the story of the king who's going fishing. So he contacts his meteorologist and he says, "I'm going fishing, what's the weather going to be like?" And the meteorologist says, "The weather's going to be perfect for fishing." So he and the queen go in the direction of the river to go fishing. But on the way, they meet a fisherman on his way back sitting on a donkey. And the fisherman says to the king, "Are you going fishing?" He says, "Yeah, we're going fishing. It's not a good idea today because the weather's going to be bad. My meteorologist said the weather's going to be good for fishing, so we're going to fish." So he and his wife, the queen, went to the river to fish. And there was a torrential downpour. The heavens opened and it rained and rained and rained. So the king went back to the palace and he sacked the meteorologist. And then he employed the fisherman to be his meteorologist. The fisherman said, "But I don't know anything about meteorology. I don't know anything about the weather. But you were able to tell me it was going to rain." "Yeah, I know that. But that is because every time it's going to rain, my donkey's ears turn down." "Ah!" So he employed the donkey, which set in motion the pattern in governments to employ dumbasses to lead nations. So, but I just like the story because it's about contrast. It's about comparing and comparing Jesus' kingdom with the kingdom of the wicked. The fourth voice, or the fourth word I hear in this psalm, is the voice that intercedes. In verse 4 it says, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good." He's saying, "Colour our lives with goodness." I heard a prayer yesterday on, which troubled me a bit. It was about a prayer about your aims, your objectives in life, your life's plan. And, you know, you felt called to have a particular direction to go, and something was getting in the way of your objective. And the prayer went something like this: "God, if this is against my plan, roast it and burn it, and may it roast." I'll just get the exact words because it was very, very interesting. "If you want to roast them, then roast them. If you want to bury them alive, bury them alive." Anybody or anything that's against your life plan, not particularly Jesus-like in its tone or its sentiment. "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good." And if we have enemies, Jesus teaches us to love them, to pray for those who persecute us. And that's the Jesus way. Whatever the eye of the storm is, whatever the difficulty is, to pray for our nation, to pray for the United Kingdom. Whether we're in Europe or beyond Europe, we still have relationship. We still have people who need our prayers and who need our support. "To those who are upright in heart." The word "upright" here in its root says straight. To those who are straight, those who do not deviate to the left or to the right, those who are dependable, those who are reliable. Jesus says a good tree is known by its fruit. If the tree is good, the fruit will be good. If the tree is bad, the fruit will be bad. And that reminds us of Psalm 1, which I always think is about Jesus anyway, about the man who is blessed. He's like a tree planted by a river, and in its season yields his fruit, and its leaf fades never. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. So we've had words of honor, words of identity, voices of reassurance, voices of authority, voices that compare and contrast with the world, voices that intercede before the Lord. And the last thing I want to talk about is the voices that bless. Peace be upon Israel, the very line that Bethany began the service with. A voice that spurs us to pray, a voice that spurs us to bless others, and a voice that creates peace and shalom and flourishing as its outcome. The word shalom, when we talk about peace for Israel, means to flourish and to be fulfilled. Very interesting, though, that the root of the word bless also means to kneel. The very same idea of kneeling down. And if we want to bless others, the idea in the scripture is to kneel down and get alongside them, not to stand over them, but to be with them, be empathetic, to be partners, to discover where they are, what they need, and how they belong. So when you bless somebody, you are doing them a great favor, but the tone and the spirit and the action in which you're doing them the favor or giving them the blessing. So when we pray, we're praying for peace, for our own nation, for the United Kingdom, for Europe, for the world in which we live. And we can kneel and we can bow before. There's a very interesting story about Joshua in Joshua chapter 5. And the angel of the Lord appears to him, maybe what used to be called a theophany or a Christophany of Jesus, and appears alongside him. And Joshua says, "Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" "I'm for neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. We want to do what's right in God's eyes." And Joshua takes his shoes from off his feet. And then he falls on the ground and kneels before the Lord. And then there's this theme that emerges. If you're Jericho or your mountain, so there are different kinds of mountains. There's mountains that are giants that we confront us in life, and there are mountains that bless us, that speak to us of God's presence. But if your mountain, your city, is to be transformed, if Jericho is to fall, in other words, in the prayer of Joshua, then in order for Jericho to fall, we must fall before the Lord. In order for Aberdeen to fall, we must fall before the Lord. In order for your mountain to fall and to nibble away at the mountain, it reminds me of that phrase, "How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time." If things are to fall, it's amazing how we have to fall before the Lord. So bless means to endure with power, success, prosperity, longevity, and so on. We want to bless people. Life is quite difficult. Life is quite hard. It's difficult to know whose we are and whom we serve. So many tensions, so many things that pull us, so many things that divert us, so many things that make us feel insecure and uncertain. But this we know, that God is with us. God promised hundreds of years before that he would send Emmanuel into the world, and he is with us now. And we want to pray for more of him, and our concluding song will be that. It will be about, O come, Emmanuel. Without me praying, I think this would be a wonderful prayer for us all to unite in, to stand up with. And then to think, who do we need to share this prayer with? Who do we need to share this Emmanuel with? Who do we need to kneel before? What do we need to kneel before in order to have victory, in order to know God's blessing and God's grace? So let's sing, "O come, Emmanuel."